D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. Dave Hits and Tomas, they doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what's popping in the field.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
I mean, they know what's popping in the field.
Doing what?
Yeah.
It never gets old, does it?
Nope.
Saints, B's and B-Boys. I love this podcast.
Tomas. It's been confirmed. You've said it quite a few times, but I recently read it. Harvard study, BS and Beer is the best Saints podcast on the internet.
There you go.
I read it. It's right here. I wrote it on this piece of paper, and then I read it.
And you read it.
It's right there. The number one podcast. It says right there, Harvard study.
Hey, I see. The Harvard study can't be wrong.
No, I just read. Well, I didn't say it was a Harvard study. I just said I read Harvard study.
That's correct.
BS and Beer is the best Saints podcast on the net. Yeah.
So, good as gold.
Good as
black and gold to me.
Then once you say it on the internet, then you know it's true.
There you go.
That's right.
So there you go.
That's right.
So, I know y'all probably don't remember how I'm doing this other podcast. So now
you're doing
another
podcast?
Yeah, man. So
what's it about?
Like it's about UK, and now you know UK hates Louisville. So if y'all Saints fans don't know, and then Bill now Louisville just got in a big trouble because I guess for their recruits they were having prostitutes come in.
Yeah.
And some of these kids were like 16,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So at the
but
same
that's
time,
that's the legal age here in Kentucky, so you can't.
Yeah. And apparently somebody complained about that.
Yeah,
that's what I can't.
You know, them
out.
Boys weren't complaining; they were like, "Wait, who told?
Yeah.
Who told?" Well, I feel like it's tied in. We kind of talked about because you know it's off season, so I brought up the whole what's his thing, Dr. Huxtable,
Bill Cosby
yeah. thing. So you think at some point now, Bill Cosby apparently. It was what?
What do you call
it?
Hung what?
It was
a mistrial.
Yeah.
Hung jury.
Oh, it said something about hung. I don't know.
You and your sausage and hung and all this other stuff. You try to keep up,
it's
okay?
A big pudding pop.
So I think that.
No stick.
Now, what Bill Cosby said he's going to do is he's going to go and he's going to do like seminars on sexual assault.
He is.
I read that.
How'd he get it done or what?
I don't know, but you know he's going to be over there like, they're going to hire him over at U of L, and he's going to be like, there's some things that you know, stuff and things.
Well, you know what the first thing he said when he came out the courtroom?
Now the quarterback is touching and feeling the man who's bending over to snap him the ball. And then you got the wrestlers and the grabbing and the swinging and the touching and all the things they're doing.
Yeah.
How do you like it? I've been practicing my Bill Cosby. That's not bad.
Now, can you do the Fat Albert?
Hey.
That's the first thing he said when he came out the courtroom. Honest to God. There was a report. When he walked out the courtroom smiling, the first thing he said was, hey.
I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to give the lady the Quaaludes to make them pass out and then do things and
stuff
to them.
You know, it was the 70s, man. Speaking of Bill Cosby, you know, what was the defensive lineman we let go there that Tyron Walker?
He got cut by the
Bikes. Got cut. Yeah, you know what for, right?
No.
he's under investigation for drugging and raping a woman in Lafayette.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, like him and Sharper. Sharper
was his mentor. Yeah, I think he was looking
they
up
over
the
there. Like, man, they were really good players except for the whole rapey thing, you know.
Yeah, wouldn't be for the whole rape thing, they were upstanding citizens.
Yeah. Somebody said earlier, I forget who said it, but it made me laugh. It was some podcast I listened to, and I'm sorry, I should give them credit, whoever said
it. No, this is like anyway, but go ahead.
Stop it. He said.
Harvard study? You read it?
The Harvard study.
That's right.
I read Harvard study says we're the best. Anyway, and they were like, Williams, our second round draft pick, he should be everything that Sharper was, except for the whole rapey thing, and it made me laugh out loud.
Hopefully,
man. My wife's like, "What are you?" I'm nothing, babe. Don't worry about it. So this week we have some fairly news that just broke, and that's gonna take up some time. Armstead. I guess he had surgery.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
What was, you said somewhere October?
They said the earliest he'll come back, late October. The latest he'll come back at the beginning of the summer.
And then Cam Jordan.
Tomas says he won't be back at all.
Yeah, but well, okay. We'll hold on to that thought. We got
I'm holding on
of time.
To it, brother. No problem.
Cam Jordan working out, talking about it, yep. talking Super Bowl. Yep. So yep. I thought that was interesting. But I've been meaning to do this for weeks now. But I had a conversation with an older gentleman telling him about the podcast. And it's kind of amazing to me, but when I stop and think about it, it wasn't that long before long ago when I didn't understand how podcasts work. And that little icon on my phone, you know, on my iPhone. With
yeah.
the
I was that like, you couldn't hide because it's an iPhone?
Yeah. And I'm like, how do you delete that thing? I don't know
exactly.
what it is. I don't. And then one day, I'm not exactly sure what I was doing, but one day, I was cutting grass and I figured something out and I was like, holy crap, man. And discovered all these podcasts.
Whole world.
Yeah, a whole new world opened up. So I put my earphones on. I'm cutting grass. I'm listening to these Saints podcasts, man. I think Dome Patrol was the first one I found. And I still find those guys hilarious. They probably cuss a little bit too much for my liking, but they get me laughing. So I really enjoy that show. But it made me realize that there are a lot of people out there. Even people who listen to the show who don't understand that they don't have to listen to it on their computer.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so they don't listen as frequently as they should or could or would if they realize that, man, on your phone, and I don't have an Android. You have an Android, don't you, Heath?
Yeah.
On the iPhone, there's a icon for podcast. All you do is you open that up. You type in whatever it is you want to listen to Saints. You know, you type in Saints and options will pop up. Then you subscribe. You want to listen to a show about cooking or, you know, flowers or whatever. Use your phone. And then once you download, it's like a DVR. So you sitting at your house, they download onto your phone.
Right.
And then when you sitting there at the grocery store or doing something or cutting grass, they're there on your phone. You listen to them instantaneously. There's a whole world that can open up for all you folks who have not yet, you know, embraced the podcast thing.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, I'm trying to increase our listenership by explaining to people. Because, I mean, I was talking to this guy, and he's around 50 or whatever, and he's like, listen to the pod. And he made a comment, and all of a sudden I realized how many people don't understand. And that comment was, yeah, man, I like it, and I listen to you guys when I'm at work. He said, but, you know, like, I can't be stuck in my computer all the time. And I'm like, oh, man, no. And so, man, there's so many options out there. So if you're sitting there thinking that the only way you listen to a podcast is on a computer, man, you got a whole world that's going to open up to you. And now you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it. I mean, I don't sound like one of those, the Hoppa commercial. Hey, the Hoppa. Who got the Hoppa? The Hoppa. So, anyway.
Yeah, all right. The computer's so 1990s, man.
Yeah, it's back with the one glove thing.
Yeah,
man. All right, let's get this show going.
Tonight, on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night, here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, let's talk fairly. This is I know, like, I should have made a rant for you, Heath, because I know you're the one that's the least happy about this.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, it's hard not to agree with you. You were talking about the medical staff, and we've on this show gone off about the medical staff, but now it's more the administration. I'm not even talking about the guy who's the doctor or whatever. I'm talking about who let anyone decide that we're going to sign this guy to a long-term contract. If I'm not mistaken, $18 million guaranteed with no provisions that if you have any issues with your heart.
Right, which everybody's known about for a long time.
Yeah, I mean.
All the way back to at least to Auburn, if not before.
No, they knew it going into Auburn.
I talked
to Chris Landry about it, and I think we reported on this show.
Yeah.
Chris Landry, like when he was recruiting, or they were recruiting a guy, and
right.
he watched the film and was doing his thing.
Right.
It was something that was widely known by everybody. Yeah. You know, it may not have made the news or whatever, but so this is something. So, okay. And then the most irritating thing, I already said the other things were more irritating, but another irritating thing is that Delvin Bro has a contingency in his contract that anything that happens to him and his spinal column or you know, specifically related to his old injury, he wouldn't get his guaranteed money. Now, obviously, he hasn't signed that type of contract yet, so I'm sure it's not really. I mean, his guaranteed money is probably just a couple hundred thousand dollars or whatever. But I mean, it's hard not to say what is going on here. I mean, what is going on? Because the next segment we're going to talk about Armstead and his injury. And then you got to ask questions again about what is going on here. There's just only so many times guys can get injured and it's just a freak injury, and it's every single year, and it's every year to our most valuable players, our most important players.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the answer to it is. I don't, but it's frustrating. It's perplexing. Tomas, help me, man. Help me understand.
I got nothing. Look, you know, I mean, there are two things you're talking about. There are two different things here. You know, from an administrative end, a contractual end, this is a problem. You know, I mean, I'm involved in business. And, you know, when I'm doing a deal, there are what they call contingencies. You know, you don't fulfill the contingencies, the contract's null and void. You know, you have an executable contract, but it hasn't been executed, so therefore it's null and void. There's no reason in this world that if you know from Auburn to Detroit, from Detroit to New Orleans, you knew the man had an enlarged heart. You knew that he had heart issues. You knew that every physician along the way was saying, there's something you got to keep track of. I'm saying, okay. So you're not going to sign this big, giant contract. You know, it's one thing to say, we're going to give you a one-year deal. You know, okay. We don't care if you have a heart disease. One-year deal. It's, you know, league minimum. Okay. If you pass out and die on the field, well, okay.
Which we hope he does.
No, but I'm just saying the ramifications of a one-year deal at minimum are completely different than a $28 million four-year contract. So at that point, who's the legal team? You know, it's not just working out the nickels and dimes, okay? Because I have to think that the legal part is done by a different team than the team that does the accounting. The bean counters are one team. And the legal team is another.
Yeah,
so to me, in this issue, it's not a bean counter issue. I mean, they may want to blame our GM, but I have a feeling it wasn't really the GM's issue. The GM's issue was, let's make sure the money works.
Right.
Now, if the money works, okay, great. Now we'll pass it off to the law firm. Now, the law firm should know. I mean, I'm thinking, I would hope that if I have an attorney involved in this, my attorney's going to say, hold on a second, let's look at all the details here. You know? The piece of property I'm selling right now. The guy told me, as soon as you give me the contract, I'm going to pass it on to my attorney. Well, that's what I figure you're going to do, because I surely wouldn't sign a contract without looking at an attorney, letting an attorney look at it.
Right.
So whoever came up with the contract for Fairly, from the legal side, should be fired, in my opinion. that's the bottom. Should never have to ever again do a contract for any player going to the Saints. Now, they can work for, you know,
look to
Atlanta.
At some point, you just can't continue the whole definition of insanity. You can't continue down the exact same path with the exact same people doing the exact same things.
Yeah, but see, what I'm saying to you is I think you, like so many other fans, are missing the point here. You want to blame – no, I'm serious. You want to blame the wrong person for the mis-execution of a contract. Okay?
Well, okay, hold on a minute.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying, and I do believe that there's absolutely got to be other people that know more of the legalese than, say, Mickey Loomis.
Mickey Loomis,
okay?
Right.
But I also believe, ultimately, somebody's got to be responsible. It's whoever's at the top of the damn chain. You know what
Tom
I mean?
Tom Benson.
Well,
at the top of the chain.
And Tom Benson is probably, you know, I
not
mean,
coherent
I,
enough.
And so, therefore, well, that's what I'm saying to you. See, because this is where I'm coming.
So
with
what
I'm
saying.
So
I agree with you that Mickey Loomis wasn't completely said, you know what, let's sign this guy. And, you know, don't worry about that issue there or whatever. Still, at the end of the day, Mickey Loomis is all those guys' bosses, essentially, you know, to get this done. Somebody's got to be responsible.
See, I don't think, well, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you in part. Loomis is responsible in part. not wholly. What I'm saying is that everybody wants to put the blame completely on his shoulders, and I don't think so. When Benson does a deal where he just bought the Mercedes dealership, I'm quite sure Loomis wasn't the one who said, hey, let's sign that contract.
No, but, in a situation like this, do you really think that Loomis has to have a whole lot of legal background to know that he should have had a contract that with the Hart clause?
No, I agree with you. He should have known.
I mean, I would have known that, and I don't know anything about the law.
Sure, but what I'm saying is that I'm just saying that it's not just one guy who's responsible for this issue.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying that Loomis certainly has his share in it, but we haven't heard one word about who are the attorneys for the Saints organization to put together the contract for these players. Because I sure know it's not going to be Loomis. He's an accountant. Okay. He's not a lawyer.
Okay, so I'm sitting here trying to, you know, I'm trying to absorb what you're saying to see, you know, how valid that point is. And then, and not that I completely disagree with you, but here's one of the things that apparently the same group of people, whether it's attorneys, doctors, friends of friends, whoever it is, did it for Delvin Bro. So what, and here's the thing, we're not behind the curtain. We don't know. They may have addressed all this and said, you know what, it's worth the risk. All right, we're going to do
hold
it.
Hold on.
Hang on. All right,
go ahead.
Okay, and they're sitting there at a big old table with all the minds, and they said, are we sure we want to do this? Coach says yeah, Mickey Loomis says yeah, the doctors say yeah, the attorneys say yeah. And then a week later, it's like, hey, man, I got a heart problem. I can't play no more. We don't know this. So all of it's speculative. But at the end of the day, whose job is it? Who is the person who's responsible? And it's always, it may not be a heart condition, but it's a highly paid defensive end who just recently got a new contract, who's beating people on the beach with a belt. And that didn't happen after. That happened before the contract. There's a lot of people speculate that the Saints knew about that before it happened. There's even speculation the Saints are the ones who leaked out the video in an effort to try to get the money back from Junior Gallette. So they decided based and looked at it risk reward, and they still decided to do it. I have to imagine that they were like, man, we have no reason to think that Fairley has any heart problems that would be anything that was an issue. And then now, after I just got finished beating up on the staff, then I start asking myself, and I'll give you the floor after this comment. I beat myself up wondering if this isn't something that Nick Fairley just did his best to hide. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, now that I got my money. I mean, look at the timing of this.
Yeah. Well, the timing is, yeah. I mean, it's really suspicious.
I'd really love to know from someone behind the curtain if Nick Fairley was oblivious to the fact that he had a heart condition that could kill him.
No.
And then all of a sudden, that like, hey, man, I know I got this condition. Let me get this contract, whatever it is. Because remember,
does make Paul, you wonder, though, now, if he felt something different.
Now there's another factor that I just thought about that. Nick Fairley gave us a sweet hometown deal.
Right.
Oh, man, I want to stay with the Saints.
Right.
What if he was thinking, man, I'm going to take this 18 guaranteed because if I go to another place, they might give me a physical that's a little bit more in depth.
Yeah.
So you give him that sweetheart deal. As soon as you sign it, a week later, I ain't playing no more.
Yeah.
So we don't know, but these are the things that are all because the bottom line, the victims here are us fans. The fan, we're the victims here.
Yeah.
And I want to get to the bottom of it.
The salary cap is the real victim, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, Mr. Progressive,
I'm a victim.
Yeah, apparently so. Victimization as prime. Let me ask you this question. When we were talking about signing Bro, did everybody know his story about breaking his neck?
Yep. I didn't know it. I didn't know it until after we signed him.
Well, I knew it before they signed him.
I never heard of
it. I knew
before.
It just because I knew him.
We knew the story
from LSU.
Yeah. So did I mean, Bro's situation with his neck, I believe, was well known. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Bro's agent sat down at the desk with the Saints and said, look, we know we have an issue here. Let's go ahead and put it in the contract. We don't have a problem with that because we just want to have a contract to play at the NFL level.
Sure.
So as opposed to Fairley, I knew nothing. I mean, I consider myself a pretty good.
Right. We pay attention to what's going on.
Okay.
I didn't know anything about
it. I knew nothing about Fairley having a heart issue last year when we signed him to the one-year deal. I was like, well, it could be boom or bust here. We have no clue. Nobody wanted him. But, yeah. And I was quite happy when, oh, man, that's great, you know. But like I said, I didn't think it was the number one priority to resign. I thought we need to resign him, but I didn't think it was the number one priority. But even during that time, I still didn't know anything about a heart issue. You know, it wasn't until after he signed that all of a sudden, oh, by the way, he's got a heart thing. And then all of a sudden I started doing research and I'm like, well, hell, he had a heart issue at Auburn. He had a heart issue at Detroit. Well, how did he not know that? You know, so to me, you can't compare Bro to Fairley. I think Bro, you know, if, from what I know,
okay,
it wouldn't surprise me.
Are you going with the assumption that nobody knew about Fairley's heart condition? Is that what you're trying to say, that everybody knew about?
No, no.
Everybody knew about Bro's but didn't know about Fairley's?
What I'm saying is I think that Bro and his representatives were probably much more open about his issue because he wanted an NFL contract. He felt that, you know, I didn't get to go to LSU. I signed there. It's all the things that happened. I went to camp. I did everything I could already. I'm ready to make it into the NFL if someone gives me a chance. And it looks like the Saints are going to give me a chance. Let's be up front. They already know because I can't, you know, I can't pass the physical when yeah, they take the x-ray, you know. So I think his situation is much a bone situation comes up on an x-ray. A heart situation does not come up on an x-ray. Okay. So I'm just saying, I believe the majority of the 5% fans like us knew that coming in, Bro had an issue. But I believe the 5% fans didn't know that Fairley had a heart condition. And so that right there speaks volumes to me. His agent may well have said, man, let's not say anything. Let's just go ahead and sign the deal. You know, I mean, I put the onus on the Saints. I'm not forgiving the Saints for what they did.
Right.
Okay. I'm just saying that it wasn't as clear cut as the Bro situation.
I just have to jump in and disagree. The point is, like I said, Chris Landry, everybody knew he had it coming out of high school. So I don't think he pulled the wool over the Saints' eyes that they didn't know.
It's not everybody. Chris Landry makes a living doing what he does.
I mean, who cares if we know? The Saints knew.
Yeah, the Saints.
The Saints knew. I'm not talking about fans. Because it's irrelevant if we knew or didn't know. We're not signing them to a contract.
I'm just responding to the example that you gave of Bro. You gave the example of Bro, and I'm saying to you that using that example, everybody, even who wasn't an NFL scout at one time or another, or wasn't, you know, one of these guys writing for the Times Pick Your Nose or the Advocate, okay? I'm just saying Joe, 5% fan, like us, knew the situation with Bro. And I'm telling you that I'd be shocked if even half of the 5% fans knew that Fairley had a heart issue. The scouts would know it. These guys who make a living writing for sports magazines or they have their own sports thing, whatever, they would know. And certainly that's why I say, sure, the coaches would have to know. And you would think the medicals, I mean, you would think everybody would know.
Right.
Okay, so I'm not taking anything away. I'm just saying that you got to spread the wealth, as it were, because it's not just Mickey Loomis. It's Mickey Loomis, the attorneys that were involved in this whole thing. You know, the coach, if you ask him, what's he going to say?
Dude, sign him.
That's right.
The coach is going to say sign.
That's right. Yeah. Coach's not going to care. Man, I want him because he gave me 6 sacks last year, whatever the hell it was. Yeah. I want him in there.
Yeah.
You know? So, no. All right. That's my point on it.
All right. Well, listen, let's take a quick break. We're here at the SEC Pub. Always a good time. Appreciate them. They're our sponsors. And Tomas needs a beer, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. We're going to talk about Armstead, and we're going to have Chris Landry on a little bit later in the show, so y'all don't go anywhere.
Kissing Hands and Shaking Babies, the BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, we're back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast here at the SEC Pub. Tomas, Mauricio, Heath Elson-San, Dave Romero.
I wanted to ask me a question. Okay,
you like that? No, I was getting confused. I wanted to talk about Armstead. It was the next thing on the list, but we gotta jump. I can't see myself going into another thing that I'm gonna get aggravated by. The show's supposed to be about entertainment. Nothing entertainment about that. So, breaking news.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
All right. Apparently, help me out, Heath.
The running back, Freeman.
Yeah,
running back.
I need to write this down. MVP of the
says if he don't come out of the game, he's the MVP. And after they win the Super Bowl this year, like he feels like they're gonna do, he'd have had a chance to be back to back Super Bowl champions with an MVP. But he don't know why he came out of the game.
You know, I'm glad we brought this up because the other thing is breaking news.
breaking news from the BS and Beer news desk.
So all of a sudden, Cam Newton comes out and he says, well, the only thing missing
in his life is, a
Super Bowl trophy. And I wonder if he was thinking that when he failed to jump on that ball in the Super Bowl and try to maintain possession of the ball and potentially score a game-winning touchdown.
Yeah.
When the game, it didn't look like it was that high on his list back then. So anyway, so between Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers and all their aspirations for glory.
So I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait to see if that creates some character issues and some team dissent and all between next season with, you know, Freeman thinking that him coming out is what cost him the Super Bowl.
Well, and Cam Newton continues because on the NFL Network, they were getting ready to do an interview with their first-round draft choice. And so they're getting ready to ask the first-round draft choice. McAfee, is that his correct name? Yeah, McAfee. Getting ready to ask a question. And here comes Cam Newton. No, wait. Rookie got to wait his turn. All right, any questions for me? And there was dead silence. Not one word. He goes, well, okay, I guess not. Well, go ahead, Rook. You go ahead.
What a jackrabbit, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, just cheese and crackers, man. Like, it's people like that. And I know there's probably people who think they're super cool and it's all. But just, like, I want to see people like that fail. Not because he's successful, he's good. People try to, oh, he's jealous. I'm not jealous. I hate when jackasses are successful. And they're jackasses, and when they fail, you finally say, man, you know, if you were a good person like Colston, man, who could dislike Colston? Colston gets done, it's like, hey, man, you want to come work for me? I got a job for you. I'll pay you more than you probably deserve for that job. But a guy like Cam Newton, as soon as he can't play football anymore, who wants to be around him? Anyway, man, you know me and Cam Newton, it's just I don't know if I'm already irritated because I really feel like in a bad mood now after our discussion on Fairly. I literally am in a bad mood now. So I'm trying to be, but now I'm taking it out on Cam Newton. Did I mention he was a jackwagon? I'll tell you. So, all right, so let's talk Cam Jordan, the good Cam.
Yeah.
The right side of the forest Cam.
Yeah.
So he's talking Super Bowl. He defended Drew Brees, and he was explaining, you know, I guess somebody was being negative. I read this article, and it was a couple of days ago, and he's saying, look at who our quarterback is. Look at the talent that we have. I heard a show today that kind of irritated me, and it Saints fans, and they were talking about, like, oh, how ridiculous it would be to think that the Saints could win 13 games. And, I mean, like, okay, is it probable? Probably not. But is it impossible? Like, it's just, how could we, 13 games, like, I mean, we won 13 games. Matter of fact, we went 13-0.
Yeah, yeah.
Right after going 8-8 or 7-9. I think it was 8-8 in 2008. And we won 13 games, was the best team in the league. And so this laughable idea. Now, these injuries don't help things. But I said it before, as much as I'm upset about the injuries, every one of the positions that we got injured at, bar center, who he's not supposed to be out the whole season, defensive tackle and offensive tackle, both have good, young, promising players that could easily step in and fill the void. Maybe not quite as well as the original guy, but can fill the void. So the idea that the Saints... to me, the Saints do have an opportunity to, I don't know, 13 games is a lot, but just to treat it like it's something that's completely impossible and laughable.
It's not impossible.
Just,
I mean,
like it's laughable, that irritates me. It's not laughable because if people stay healthy and guys develop the right way, the Saints could win 13 games. Now, I wouldn't put my money on it,
right.
But the point is it's not laughable.
Right.
All right, now I'm irritated now, Tomas, and I see you over there shaking your head, and I don't know what you think.
Where's the Dave rant segment?
It's just, man, it's too much bad news today.
All right, well, I'm just going to tell you this. Now, I believe that I'm the homer, according to you.
You're the homer, bro. Not according to me. You're the homer.
Okay. So,
and we
I
love
believe
you for that.
I said,
we love you for that.
Well, thank you. I believe that I said that I. Barring injuries, I felt that the Saints could easily win 9, maybe 10 games last season.
Last season. Okay.
Yes, last season. But we had, you know, the spell of multiple broken legs and everything else. And so, but now you turn around and say, well, hold on now. You get all those guys back on defense plus more. Now you solidify the offensive line by picking up a guard that you know can play the position. And even with the injury to Unger and to Armstead, again, as I brought up the statistics for you, Armstead played less than 32% of the games last year.
Yeah, but he's still the better player, and he's not playing. I mean, we could debate that all day.
But he wasn't playing last year either.
Yeah, and you know what? That's why we won 7 games last year. No. We could have won 9 games. Not saying it would have happened, but the point is that just because the guy didn't play, the reason I thought they're going to be better is not because Armstead wasn't playing. It's because he would be playing.
Well, it's the total of it. He was part of the reason why they won 7 games. He wasn't the sole reason why, the sole injury. It was all of the injuries combined. We're starting off, unfortunately, with some injuries this year. We just got to hope it doesn't reach the level that it reached last year. But at the same time, we're also in better shape to deal with them this year because we have better depth this year than we had last
year.
So
we did not have the depth last year on defense. So when you lose your first-round draft choice, Rankins, who when he came back in the second half of the year showed you why he was a first-round draft choice, when you lose him in the middle, that made a big difference in the middle. Even with Fairley playing ball out last year, it still made a huge difference not having Rankins in there. When you lose 6 defensive backs, there's no way, and you have no linebackers to start with, it's a porous defense that did not allow you to win more than 7 games. With the crappy defense that we had, we still won 7. To me, it wasn't anything to do with the offense. It was everything to do with the defense.
Here's the thing. While I understand and in general I agree with you, let's not act like the offense is completely, you know, has no responsibility for the losses. There were tons of time when the offense couldn't move the ball. They could, and again, that doesn't mean the defense would have been better, but if you maintain the ball a little bit, you don't turn it over, or you pick up a first down, then maybe the defense is a little fresher. Maybe they have a longer field to work with. The point is that the offense is not this juggernaut. There's a lot of empty stats in the Saints offense. That
what you just brought up was legitimate, not last year, but the previous 2 years.
And it was better last year.
That's not legitimate for last year because you agreed with us when we talked about this in previous shows. You agreed that those were legitimate statistics from Breeze and the rest of the offenses last year.
The offense was better last year than it was before. But I'm not saying that offense it was like, oh, man, we don't have to worry. We didn't have Armstead last year.
I'm not going to get into this discussion because it's going to go nowhere. Because once you have your opinion, you can't change your mind.
Oh, really?
But I'm going to address the 13-3 issue. Here's how I'm going to address it.
All right.
In the previous 3 years, the Atlanta Falcons went 8-8, 6-10, and 4-12. So if you go 4-12 the season before you go to the Super Bowl, what makes you think that you can't go 13-3 when you win 7-9 3 consecutive seasons? That's all I'm going to say.
And you know,
those are the statistics that are legit. I'm not making any.
No, I agree with that.
Those are
right
numbers.
There, I completely agree with. And like I said,
again, not what I'm expecting, but certainly possible.
That's what I was just to say. I'm not expecting it.
I'm still thinking 10 games.
I would agree.
It's not laughable.
But it's not laughable.
It's not laughable.
16-0, I'd laugh at that.
Yeah, right. Well, that's anybody.
Okay,
the best teams in the league.
Right.
Remember the Patriots?
15-1, I might still laugh at that.
Right, right. Remember the Patriots whenever, you know, they all the way to the last game, the Giants beat them?
Yeah.
Like, it's just too hard to, you know, never have. But at the end of the day, I mean, I don't expect 13 wins. I mean, that's not my point. My point is to make it sound like it's laughable. When we did it just, I know it's several years now, what, 6, 7 years in 2009? I guess that's 7 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's not laughable. That's the only point I'm making. It irritates me when people act like something is so improbable, like the Saints are so disgustingly bad. Here's the thing. And Tomas, now I'm picking up your cross and I'm running with it. A defense as bad as it was, decimated by injuries. All we have to do, and we did, we get the injured guys back. Now, again, all this is assuming that we don't have another run of major injuries. But assuming that we just have a normal slate of injuries like everybody else does, the defense should be significantly better.
Sure.
The offense should be better because of the, again, you know, we have the disagreement, a little bit of speed, but I don't think that's the end of the world. It never was my point that's end of the world. And I'll use the same term, end of the world. The team is significantly better. As long as we get Unger back, I think that we could sustain the injuries that we have. The problem is now that we've lost a little depth. I can see this team winning 10, and if they get hot, they could win 11 or 12 games. I can see that happening. So the irritation of this is the laughing. The laughing, and what's even more irritating is Saints fans laughing at it.
Yeah.
Like, they get with their little buddies and they think that, oh, well, I don't want to make a fool out of myself and sound like I'm a homer. But look, we can put on paper, this team can get hot. And if you got Drew Brees and he's healthy with an offensive line, with a running game that we should have, this offense should be significantly better this year. Be able to maintain, pick up those third downs, keep on schedule. If we get that improvement on the defense, and we have a lot of talent, a lot of young talent coming into their second and third year.
Yeah.
It could happen.
And I would say to you that I don't think it's the fans that are talking bad about our team. See, here's why I go back to the podcast issues. You know, when you listen to all these other podcasts, like I try to listen to some of these, sometimes I want to blow up my phone because I can't put up with them very, very long. But those are the people that are negative. You can call me a homer all you want. You know, I'm just not negative about it. Injuries are going to happen. We're going to lose games because of bad calls. We're going to lose games because Drew had a bad, you know, game or two, whatever it may be. I mean, last year I lost my fantasy football because Drew had two bad games. Right? That's the only reason I lost. Other than that, second place. You get nothing. Well, in my league, you got nothing for second place.
Yeah.
Right? But I would have been first place if Drew had two average games. He just had two crappy games. Well, it's going to happen. Nobody is perfect. Okay? But I think that the fans in general believe that this team, at the very least is going to be in the playoffs. At the very least. It's these other guys on these podcasts, oh, they're only going to win four games. They're gonna... Okay, fine. You go with your four games, and that, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. You know, my opinion is that they have more than enough talent to have had a winning season last year with that same talent and more added to it this year, where you have a completely different, you know, we're talking about offenses. Our offense is going to be different this year. It's going to be even more productive because we've got a running back now who's going to play the role of the Bush Sproles running back that we haven't had, that we've needed. Okay, that right there completely changes the offensive philosophy of this team. We have a real guard who doesn't have to just play in one little square. We have a guard who can really pull, block pass. So we got a legitimate guard on the right side. Pete, I think, has grown into his guard. I think we have a legitimate guard on the left side. So all of a sudden, what we've always talked about, hey, you know what? The ends play is not as important as the guard play is. Haven't we said that a bunch of times? I'm looking at you, Dave.
Absolutely.
For Drew Brees especially. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you suddenly have solidified the guards in this game, and okay, Unger, I'm not saying that Unger is not a tough loss, but I've so far been impressed with this guy that they picked up from Washington, he's not a rookie, he's not a guy who's been riding the bench. He was a starter for the Redskins for a lot of games. He's got actual NFL experience against East Coast teams. He's played against Dallas. He's played against the Giants. He hasn't played against, you know, Little Sisters of the Poor. So you've got a guy in there who I think can, at the very least, hold his own. And you have two better quality guards. I think the offense is going to be exceptionally better. And then you turn around, and my highest, you know, thing is we don't have the Wooden Indian in there anymore. So, you know, I mean, you get rid of the Wooden Indian, anybody who comes in there. And I don't know, people talking about, even Cam talked about how one year he had 12 sacks and Gallette had 10 or whatever it was, and that made a big difference. I understand that. But if you're constantly double, how many times did we watch the game last year where Cam got double, triple, you know, he got chipped and then he got double teamed? And he still put pressure on them. So now just imagine if they can't do that anymore because, well, now you got somebody on the other side or you have somebody in the middle. Well, it makes a world of difference. And you have real linebackers. You have somebody who's going to say, send the tight end out here. We're not going to be beaten by the tight end.
You're not going to get tore up by that 3-yard, 5-yard pass for a first down every single time.
I'll kind of sum it up real quick. If you went 7-9 with the injuries and all that the Saints had last year, okay, and quite frankly, we were a couple of bad bounces away from winning 9 or 10 games last year.
Exactly.
Even in that condition. Okay.
Exactly.
So long as we either don't get as injured or we're right about having better depth to overcome injuries.
Yes.
And then the other things that we've added, it is certainly not unreasonable to expect the Saints to win 10 or 11 games even maybe this year.
Yep.
And it makes 13 completely not laughable.
Because, I mean, once you get hot.
Or ridiculous.
I mean, once you get hot, once things start going your way, again, go back to 2009. Yeah. When things start going your way, it just seems like the ball, the confidence, all of a sudden you're playing with swagger and things just start. Go back to Atlanta last year. When did Atlanta become this super amazing team? They just got confidence, man. Things started going their way. And
a lot of balls bounced their way.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of things happened positive for them.
And it's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens with Atlanta this year with the Super Bowl hangover. Epic fashion.
Yeah,
epic. Migraine hangover. Right. And then also the fact that they lost Shanahan.
Yep. The offensive coordinator.
Who made Ryan's play so much better over the last couple of seasons.
Yep.
What happens with him not having Shanahan back there anymore?
Yep.
You know, don't be surprised if you don't see Atlanta pull a Panthers this year. All right.
Put us in a better mood. Breaking news.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
Atlanta loses a 28-3 lead in the fourth quarter. Playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
All right, does everybody feel a little bit better?
And blame it on Devontae Freeman.
That will never, ever get old, I don't think, ever.
Nope. All right.
How many diamonds are on the New England Patriots right now?
283. Hey, did you ever put your the freeze? Did you get that
on
your?
Yes, it's on my – I put that on my
– I hope people really Twitter enjoyed account. That. Man, that just made my day. Yeah. I tell you what, we can take a break. We can come back with Chris Landry. And then we'll give our final thoughts and wrap up the show for today.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
All right. While everyone else is cutting back on their show.
Not us.
No. We talk way too much to be cutting back. After this, we decided that what we're going to do is we're going to wrap this show up. And we're going to have a second.
There you go. Because we don't cut back. We cut up.
But wait, there's more.
There's more.
We're going to go ahead, get some final thoughts. We're going to put this show out.
Yeah.
And then we're going to bring Chris Landry for a bonus round show.
We haven't
had a bonus round show since the season. Yeah. So anyway, Heath. Final thoughts?
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
That I'll makes it easy. Save it for the next one.
Tomas?
I got nothing. Save it for the next
one. All right, we'll save it for the next. So check this out. Next show, we're going to talk about the rookies. That's Tomas correct. Got his hot takes on the rookies.
That's correct.
We're going to talk a little bit about Armstead. I just can't do no more injury discussions about major players today. And then we're going to have Chris Landry. So look for that show on Thursday.
There you go.
So anyway, for Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, this is Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. We will talk to you on Thursday.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.